Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 391, and we're going to continue with the series here, mini-series in between, about the biblical overview of justice, the abuses of it, and what happens when the people of Israel departed from the law of Moses, in those in particular three scriptures that we launch from, about the administration of justice, about the appointment of rulers over Israel, of officers to execute justice, in other words, judgment in the land, teach righteousness, and function that way, and do it according to the fear of God, that Israel may have life, abundant life, happy life. Well, obviously that didn't happen most of the time, and so we find a lot of bad consequences, tragic consequences, and they are there to this very day. And so God recorded these words, as we read in Jeremiah last time, about his own feelings, about the nation, about the state of mind of the nation, his own people, for that matter. That's the way it is, all mankind. They're not the only one who are that type. You see, that will be hypocritical on the part of anybody to say, well, this is only the people of God, and that's the way they behave. No, all human beings are that way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is sin? Transgression of the law. You see, transgression of the Torah. All human beings have done it. So nobody is guiltless. You see, and nobody should point the finger at anybody else, only itself. You see, and let God take care of the rest. And so this is what he's saying about them, that they've become this kind of people, liars, murderers, evildoers, you see, and therefore he's going to bring punishment on them. And so we continue here with Jeremiah chapter 9, and verse 7 he says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. I'm going to purify them and test them, you see. And he's going to do it through the great tribulation to come. The trouble of Jacob. The calamities to come. And he's going to put all of them through it. And only very few of them will come out of it. And he says, for how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? What else can I do? You speak to them, they don't listen. You teach them, they reject it, they despise it. They scoff at it. They speak evil of it. Their own leaders, religious leaders, say the law of God is done away with. What else is there to do for them but not to administer the punishment, because they don't understand it any other way? And so it says, how else, you know? For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. And we all see it, even in so-called, you know, some kind of innocent situation. You go to the store and the salesperson smiles at you. They really don't mean it. It's a fake. It's a phony. It's a put-on. It's not from the heart. And if you don't buy anything, you see that they couldn't care less about you. And that's where we are everywhere, unfortunately. And so he said, as a reaction to that, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Eternal? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? And since it is on a worldwide basis, not only the people of God, isn't God going to take vengeance on all mankind? And that's exactly what he's going to do, and that's why the whole earth is going to go through it. You see? Why? Because people rejected the law of Moses, and there is no justice, no judgment, no kindness, no mercy, no truth. You see, people do not live in the fear of God. And when you live in the fear of God, you don't just say, well, I'm afraid of God, I fear. You see, that means reverence of God, honor of God. That means obedience to the law of God. You see, that means love of God. All that is involved. And people are not taught that way from the beginning of life, because to begin with, they threw God out of the school system. So what chance do the children have? And the next generation and the next generation? When the leaders, the educators of Israel, religious and civil, the rulers of Israel, and of all mankind, are responsible for the destruction of the people, because they are all thieves and robbers from God's point of view. They are not his servants. They do not care about his truth, about his word. They are not interested in living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. as he spoke it to Moses and to the prophets and in person and to his own disciples. You see? And so the whole earth is paying the penalty for it, and God is going to put an end to it. You see? He's not going to let it go on like that forever and ever and ever. And unfortunately, you see, to this very day, even though people may come across this piece of knowledge or that information, you know, well, they just look at it for a little while, and after that forget all about it and continue to go their own way. And as long as the leaders continue to do what they're doing and oppress the people and do unjustly in the land, the people are going to react, and then, you know, they just go with the flow. They go with the flow of the river. And they're going to go against it. And so everybody lies, I lie too. Everybody cheats, I cheat too. They rob me, I rob you. You know, government steals from me, I'm going to steal from government. You see, they take advantage of me, I'll take advantage of somebody else or everybody all around me. And that's the way the whole world functions. You see, and obviously God is going to take, when the time comes, and the time is coming very near, from all the knowledge that we have, biblically speaking, when this is going to come to an end. And the grand operation, you know, the mother of all operations, so to speak, is going to happen, where God is going to put the patient, the sick patient that is sick from head to toe, and remove the cancer from his body or her body, entirety of mankind. And she'll be no more there. It's going to be extremely painful for all of humanity, and everybody's going to feel it. You see, including the righteous ones. All of us still need to be cleansed and purged and purified from whatever cancerous souls are in us of unrighteousness. You see? And that's the reality, unfortunately, because we have rejected the law of Moses, and the leaders are the most responsible for it. They're oppressing their own people. And we're going to read something about that now in, through the prophet Micah. And in this prophecy, the prophet of God, this is a prophet of God, you see, it's not a prophet of man, it's not a prophet of Israel. A lot of people call him the prophets of Israel, you know, the Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all that. They were not the prophets of Israel, they were the prophets of God. They were sent to Israel. The prophets of Israel were the false prophets, and they are there to this very day. And so we read in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Micah, you see. So he's a prophet of God. That's what makes him a prophet of God. Well, most people claim to be prophets of God, and they are their own prophets. God didn't speak to them, you see. And God is not speaking through them, unless He really does. And only the very few are in that category, unfortunately. And so He's speaking to the leaders of Israel in chapter 2. This is what He says there, to them, among many other things. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. When they go to bed, you know, they think about it. Well, but all the things they're going to do as soon as they get up in the morning and go to work, go to the office, go to the government office, wherever. They're plotting all night. They're thinking about it. God says, woe to them who devise iniquity. What is iniquity? Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? When what they do is in contrast or against the law of Moses that He gave them. That's the issue here. And so it was also in the days of Jesus Christ and His disciples. And so it says, woe unto those who devise iniquity and walk out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it. Why? Because it is in the power of their hand. And whether you are in government, whether you are in religion, whether you are in the business community, in education, anything, anywhere, if that's the way you function, that's what God says to you. Woe unto you, because God is coming after you. He knows you. He knows your number. You can't hide anything. You see? He knows every thought, every feeling, every emotion, every intent. And everything is recorded. And even if you don't believe that He exists, it's neither here nor there. And if you die in between before that happens, it's neither here nor there. He will bring you back to life, and you're going to face Him. And as the Apostle Paul said in different ways, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal. You see? For our God, as He said to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 29, is a consuming fire. Nobody can escape His wrath and fury. Nobody is going to get away with murder. There are no lawyers in heaven who are going to protect you, get you, you know, out of whatever. There's no such a thing. We're going to stand naked before Him, and we're going to be brought to judgment. And as Christ said, by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, you are going to be judged. Every one of them is recorded. And let's not play games. And so He said, that's the kind of people they are. They devise iniquity. They plot all night. Or they plot in the boardrooms, in smoke, you know, screen the rooms or whatever. That's what they do everywhere. In politics, in business, in education, in religion, everywhere. God says, warn to them. And they do it because it is in their power, because they are the ones in charge. They are the ones in authority. And yet they don't realize that God ultimately is the one in absolute authority. They come and go, but He lives forever, and He has absolute authority over life and death. And had they feared God, they would have ruled in the fear of God. They would have done justice, not all these things that they are doing here. And so He's describing what they are doing. They covet fields and take them by violence. If you are in government, just pass a zoning law and you take away the land from somebody and give it to somebody else you like, you know, special interest. And that's what they've done. That's what they've been doing all the time. That's what they do all around the earth. They covet fields and take them by violence. The banking industry does that. They oftentimes in the Dust Bowl debacle, you know, this nation where many people were in terrible shape. And to this very day, that's the way it happened. You see? The banking industry, insurance industries, and all real estate people, all those who have money, they would deliberately lend money to those who could not afford to pay it, knowing full well that that's going to be the end result of it, so they can take it away from them for pennies. You see? Well, those kind of things have been happening forever in so many ways. So anytime you get something out of someone with all kind of lies and deceptions, this is the category you are in. They covet fields and take them by violence. Either the law, you know, they're using the law of the land, the police, you see, lawyers, whatever it may be. There are many ways to do it. Well, just literally, go and kill someone, take his house. Of course, today they don't do it as much as they used to do in the past. You see, so now they use all kind of deceitful ways to get it from you. And so they disinherit people. And so it says, they covet fields and take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. They oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. And yet they don't realize that Big Brother is watching. And so He says, behold, against this family, or any person like that on the face of the earth, whether among His people, or anywhere, in any given generation, you see, He says, behold, against this family I'm devising disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. Nobody gets away with murder, with anything that we have done. And so He puts all of us on notice. And that's exactly what Moses said to Israel. You reject my law. You begin to do your own things. You're going to be paying the penalty for it. And the heaven and the earth are going to be a testimony. So it's not going to be only in any given moment, any time. And even if in this life it didn't happen, that's not the end of the story. God will bring you back to life and God is going to bring you to judgment. So whoever you are, don't think that you can ever escape the judgment of God. You see? And these are the leaders of Israel. And then He continues in chapter 3, as we read here, and I said, speaking about God, speaking to the people through the prophet, hear now, heads of Jacob, speaking specific about his own people, his own nation at the time, and you rulers of the house of Israel. So now he's specific, talking to the leadership. Is it not for you to know justice? You know, the justice that I taught you through Moses? Shouldn't you be the one? You are elected to that office, you're placed in that office. Shouldn't you be the one who dispenses justice? You're in charge of the justice department, and you see, you're in charge of the law. You are the lawmakers, you are the legislators, you are the politicians. You're elected into all those offices. What for? Isn't it to do justice? You see, you should be the one to know the more. That's what James says. Don't try to be many masters. Don't try to be in an office where you're not going to execute justice because you're going to be condemned the most. And so he says, this is not for you to know justice. You who hate good and love evil, that's the kind of a nature that you have. That's the way God feels about politics, about all those who use politics anywhere. government and religion, the business community, anywhere. You see? You love good. You said you hate good and you love evil. That's the way. Because why? Because your parents, your society, your leaders didn't teach you the law of Moses. You see? And so there is a breakdown in the society. Until it's done away with. And yet God says, unless you return to the law of Moses, you're all dead. I'm going to bring utter destruction on all. And so he says, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people, and look at the very graphic, poetic description that God is going to use here, because that's how it feels. He said, you strip the skin from my people, you know, you take away from them everything that they, you know, you can, they possess and own. You leave them in poverty. They work all their lives like slaves for you, and you gouge them. Taxes upon taxes upon taxes. Surtax. Added tax. Surcharge. This and that. You see? All kind of taxes. You're killing people. He said, you strip their skin from my people. That's not enough for you. And the flesh from their bones. After the skin, you go after the flesh. You have no heart, no conscience. So you continue to do it. What do you care? And much of what government is all about, that's what it is. That's what God told them. It's not a good idea to have a king, to have a bureaucracy, to have a government, because they're going to take and take and take and take and take. And then give you the illusion of goodness, of giving you a little bit, you know, bits and pieces here and there, make you feel good. And deceive you so you can vote for them, elect them, or allow them to continue in power instead of rebelling against them, or have a revolution, whatever it may be, as it used to do more often in the past. You see? He said, this is what you're doing to my people. You're removing their skin, or you're flaying their skin from all their bodies, and then you go after the flesh and you eat it. And that's not enough, he said. He said, that's the kind of people you are, who also eat the flesh of my people. You forgot those are the people of God. All the children of on the face of the earth are the children of God. You forget that. All of you are doing it. He said, you flay their skin from them. You break their bones. And you chop them in pieces, like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. What is the description of the IRS of any nation on the face of the earth? And all the IRS does is basically what the legislators told them to do. Can't blame the IRS, even though a lot of them are wicked and evil and mean and deceitful in every nation on the face of the earth. Vicious, many of them. They couldn't care less. They have no heart. You see? Not all of them are that way. Many of them are just doing their, you know, an honest job, decent job, just doing their job. You see, and there are a lot of fake crooks out there, so I've got to go after them too. You see, but oftentimes he says that's the way it happens. And they do it because, you know, the government has passed all those laws and they basically follow that. And the government itself is not made of righteous people. They do not fear God. They do not rule in justice. You see, and so you have this state of affairs. And then God says, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. In other words, when God comes after those people who have done that, and they're going to be in tribulation, in troubles, in affliction, in captivity, in pestilence, in sickness, in disease, in accidents, in trials, and all kind of things like that. And some people say, well, if God is alive, well, how come Johnny died? Because the parents of Johnny cried to God and God wouldn't hear. Well, God says, because of your iniquities as a nation, as a people. You've done all kind of evil things all of your life, and now when you are in need, you come to me. Why should I listen to you? And that's what he's saying here. They will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. And he will even hide his face from them at that time. And a lot of people say, be it in the Jewish community or any other community, well, how come? Where was God when all those things were happening? Where was God in the Holocaust? Where was God in all the pogroms? Where was God in all those afflictions that came upon us, the Jewish community will say, and people all around the earth were being butchered and massacred and taken advantage of and cheated and robbed and defrauded in small ways, big ways, destroyed. They have war, they have bloodshed, they have terror groups, you see, ethnic cleansing, all kind of things like that. They cry to God, whatever God they believe in, and He says, I'm not hearing you, because your lifestyle, your way of life all the time is evil before me. You see? And He said, He will even hide His face from them at that time. Why? Because they have been evil in their deeds. That's why. And unless we learn this lesson, realize that, and face ourselves and look in the mirror and admit the guilt on a personal basis and a collective basis, we're going to continue to pay the piper. You see? We're going to continue to pay the penalty. And the reality is, unfortunately, the leaders are deceiving the people and creating the system and preserving the system which eats the flesh of everyone and afflicts everyone, including the very ones who created it, because they themselves become, one way or the other, somewhere down the road, victims of the same system, the Frankenstein monster that they have created. And so now God addresses the leaders in terms of the spiritual leaders. It says, verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets. They're not His prophets, they're the prophets of the people. He says, the prophets who make my people stray, who chant, peace, everything's going to be all right. You see, you don't have to obey the law of Moses. It's done away with. Just believe in Christ. Live by grace. Live by faith. You know, a little bit of morality here. Yeah, it's good. But forget about the law of God. And they've been at different times either bad or worse or better. But still, false prophets. And so He says, now, I'm talking to you, you prophets, you leaders of Israel, spiritual leaders of Israel, and for that matter, the whole earth, who make my people stray and chant peace while they chew with their teeth. In other words, they're making merchandise of you. You know, you give me money. And they always talk about money and how much they need money to do the work, whatever it may be. You see, they live at your expense, and you don't get it. He says, while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against whom? Again, that is against Him who puts nothing into their mouth. And that's what they've done. And what a lot of people don't realize, even in the Jewish community, you see, of course many in the Jewish community understand that on a personal basis, but many may not realize that the reason why they had a lot of persecution by the church, you see, because their spiritual leaders in the churches wanted the money, the materialism, the positions of the Jewish community. And so it was convenient for them just to whip the emotions of the people on Passover time, which they didn't call Passover, but Easter, being false prophets. And yet, you know, in Christmas time, they've used those occasions to make them hate the Jewish community, the people there, and they've done it for centuries. And they've done it in the Inquisition. That was the Inquisition all about. The priesthood there, the clergy, they wanted the money of the Jews. Things were not good, you know, materially. They were going to war back and forth, and their nation was not doing well financially. And that was a one way for them to grab all that money. And they do it to their own people, not only in this case of the Jewish community. They do it to their own people. You don't give them money, you're in trouble. Because they're going to scare you that you'll go to hell. You're going to burn. You're going to be tormented if you don't give money to the church. And these are all lies. Because nobody ever went to hell, nobody ever went to heaven, only Jesus Christ did. Everybody else is in the grave awaiting the resurrection. So He's describing them everywhere. That's the way they are. You see? He says, let's just tell people peace. Everything is going to be well, all is well, while they chew their teeth, but who prepare for war against Him who puts nothing into their mouth? Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. And then God talks about all the punishment He's going to bring on the false prophets. You see, on the deceivers. And so He's talking to all of His people, at all levels of government, at all levels of society, wherever they may be. Verse 8 we read, but truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and of might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. You see? And so he's speaking about the nation of Israel that is full of evil. And he continues, "Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed, or any other nation on the face of the earth, or city, or company, or place, or corporation, or whatever it may be, that's where they do it. They build it with bloodshed." That's what competition is all about. You know, kill the competition. What does that mean? There are other companies. You're going to come up with all kinds of ideas to destroy them. And we're not talking about coming up with a good product, but oftentimes it's just all kinds of ways using the government, because they're paying them, to destroy the competition. So they can become the monopoly, whatever it may be. You see, they rob everybody else. That's called bloodshed. And it says, "You build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, for money." And yet they were told, as Apostle Paul and others, that when you serve the people of God, don't do it for filthy lucre. In other words, don't do it for greed, for covetousness, for money. You see, so they had to have special qualifications, just like Moses taught. Those who are going to rule over people, as David said, must be just, ruling in the fear of God. You see? And yet they did not do it. And so you find a lot of teachings like that, by the disciples, because why? They all were speaking and teaching from the law of Moses. And so he says here, "Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come unto us." In other words, they're so deceitful, they deceive themselves to believe that I'm the servant of God. You see, in whatever community you are, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, any other religion, you know, I'm the servant of whatever that God is, everything's going to be okay, and God is with me. You know, what I'm saying is of God. And so they deceive people. You see? That's why Jesus Christ said, as he said to Israel, that all the prophets of Israel, all the leaders of Israel, at every level of society, they're all thieves and robbers. And that's all they're after, to kill and to destroy and to devastate selfish interests, in other words. That's all they're after. And the story has always been the same, for the same reason, because people rejected the law of Moses. The law that God gave Moses, the law that God introduced first in the Garden of Eden, and gradually the entirety of mankind departed from it, and only very few remain faithful, you see, and to this very day. And even when God reintroduces his religion to his people, the false prophets always rise up and do their own thing, you know, the tares. God allows it. And he allows it because he wants to see. Are we really going to follow him, or are we going to follow man? And if he sees that we're going to follow man, he lets them have it. You see? But the very few who are willing to follow him no matter what, they do not follow the liars and the thieves and the robbers. And that's what Christ was saying. My sheep know my voice. And the faithful in Israel that have always been there, as Paul would call them, the remnant, they didn't follow the false prophets. They continue to worship God in truth and in spirit. You see? And that's the reality to this very day. And God always forbid his people from abusing the people, as Jesus Christ told his disciples. You know, the rulers of the Gentiles, they exercise dominion authority over their faith. That's all they want. That's all they're after. But he said, you do better not be that kind of people. Such shall not be among you. You see? Because you're all brethren, you have only one master, and he is in heaven, but all of you are the same. Don't take advantage of one another. You see? Submit to each other. And if you do not find men in religion acting like that, you know, you have to come and kiss their ring, because they have charge over you, they abuse you, they take advantage of you, they pass all kind of laws again, you know, to bind you, to tell you all kind of lies, hold you in fear with false, you know, doctrines of demons, as Apostle Paul called them. You see, about heaven and hell, and all these lies that people teach, and you know, a lot of people are trying to bring other people back to God through those pagan, you know, demonic doctrines of heaven and hell, when God never taught those kind of things. You see? And they continue to do it, no matter what. And people follow it, because what do they know? They don't pick up the book and study it. in order to really know, in order to prove all things, in order to test the spirits, in order to know whether they be of God or not, in order to know whether they are really teaching the truth. They don't do it in any given religion on the face of the earth. And only the very few that do. You see, they understand it. And many of them, you know, they confront the leaders with it, you know, they clobber them all over the head, throw them out. And if they can in some religions to this very day on the face of the earth, especially in Islam, they kill them. If you don't do what they say that you should do. You see, and that's been the story of man. Because man rejected the law of Moses. And God is the God of Israel, and God is the God of the whole earth. And He gave that law to Israel to teach all mankind, and ultimately they're going to do it. You see, when God steps in, and He brings them back to Himself, when He makes them righteous, and cleanses all their sins and iniquities, and then they will begin to teach the whole world. And that's why it says, when that time comes, the law shall go forth out of Zion. That's where God is going to dwell in the temple. That's Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. You see, and the rabbis lied about Him all this time, because they themselves have been lied to. You see, though in those days, they knew better. They saw Him doing the signs and wonders and miracles. They knew the scriptures. They were not that ignorant. You see? And as the people of God continued to walk with Christ, and then gradually the Gentiles came in and brought their pagan religion with them, and now the Jews got all confused. They thought, well, you know, this Christianity is an ugly business. You see, it's all lies and deceptions, and they were true in that. Because when the Gentiles came in, they brought their pagan doctrines with them, and they certainly did not teach the words of Christ, because nobody was reading the book. You know, most of them were illiterate, and the prophets and their priests and their leaders, you know, were teaching them lies too. Because they were the false prophets. And now you have two religions, both being deceived by their own leaders. And therefore, you know, for a long time they've been bad-mouthing one another. And those who had power, you know, would kill the others. And yet they're all in transgression of the law of Moses. And so God is going to bring the punishment upon all of Israel and the whole earth. Because the devil has deceived all of them, as you read in Revelation. And they're all in deception, and yet they think that they're the people of God, and God is with them. And everybody will tell you, God is on my side. In every religion. And they don't realize that they are not on the side of God, and He's not on their side either. You see? And that's basically the tragic state in which we find ourselves. And that's very unfortunate. And so God continues speaking to His own people. In chapter 6, He says, in verse 6, we read, again, through the prophet Micah, the prophet is asking the question, with what shall I come before the Lord? What is it that God requires? And how? And bow myself before the high God. You see, the Most High. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? Is that what He wants? Physical things, material things, you know? Or money? In those days, sacrifices with cows of a year old. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Is that what He's after ultimately? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression as people used to do at the time? Because the false prophet led them to believe that this is what God wants. He wants the firstborn to be burnt as a sacrifice. You see? Is that what God wants? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So when I transgress and do evil, you know, here it is. I take my own firstborn. I said, "He, God, take it, please. You know, give me grace. Don't be wrathful." You see, to appease the God that way is easy. He said, "Is that the way that God wants us to worship Him?" Because people were doing it at the time in His days. And then He's replying, "He has shown you, O man, be it an Israelite, a Jew." Anybody on the face of the earth, if you are a human being, that's what He's talking about. He's talking to you. He said, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly." That's what He said through Moses. Do everything justly, with justice. Execute justice. He said, that's what God wants. This is what the Lord requires of all of His creation upon the face of the earth. To do justly, but to do justly, He said, this is what He requires to you, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And the only way you're going to know exactly what it means is when you read the law of Moses. You see? Because God was not about to repeat the entirety of the instructions that He gave to Moses, even through the prophets. You see? And He was not about to repeat everything in the so-called New Testament, the writings of the disciples, which He never called, His disciples never called the New Testament. They were magnifying the law of Moses. That's what they were doing. They were going to the synagogue, they were opening the book of the Torah and the prophets and speaking from it. That's why they always said, as it is written, as it is written. Written where? In the law of Moses and in the writings of the prophets, who basically were talking about the law of Moses. That's the only way you're going to know what is justice, what is mercy, what is to walk humbly with your God, what it means to, you know, practice loving kindness. What does it mean to be good? A lot of people today, in their deceptions, you know, they use a catchphrase, you know, what would Jesus do? How would you know what would Jesus do if you reject His law that He gave to Moses, of which He said, do not think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do the things that I said? And He said it from Genesis 1:1, from the Garden of Eden. You see? And that's why they will come to Him at the end of time, and He will tell them, I don't even know you because you are lawless. You rejected the law of Moses. Why do you call yourself my people? So that's an empty statement. What would Jesus do? Well, you might be able to find out a few things that He had done in terms of when He came in the flesh, but how about all the other things that He has said and done? And so that heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from that Torah. And He told you there in specific, in graphic detail, through Moses. What would Jesus do? You see? Because He's the one that gave it to Moses. And even the Jewish community are totally blind and ignorant. They don't know it because they don't know their God. They don't know their Savior. They don't know their Messiah. They don't know their Redeemer. And that's why when He came, many of them being blind, and a lot of them because of politics, power struggle, that's all it was for most of them. You see? They did not really contradict many of the things that He said. That was the same thing that they had been taught all their lives, but it was a power struggle. That's all it was. And then they, as time went by, they made it a doctrinal issue, a theological issue, but it was not there originally. It was a power struggle issue. You see, on the part of the priesthood and on the part of the leaders of the people. And so it is to this very day. And so people live by lies. What do you mean, how would Jesus do it unless you know what Jesus said from the beginning until the end? He's the one that said, you remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, the Savior, the Redeemer of Israel. And through Isaiah, He said, I'm the only Savior. You've got nobody else. There's none else but me. That's the person that was talking there. The one that came in the flesh and the one that is coming back again to His own people, Judah. And the tents of Judah shall be saved first. And He says they're going to be saved first when they're going to recognize Him, the one whom they have pierced. You see? Now, this generation hasn't done it, obviously. So what is He talking about? All of Israel is guilty. He's not talking only about the Jews. As Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory. And it's because of sin, the sin of humanity, the sin of those from the Garden of Eden, of Adam and Eve, and all those that followed, and every single one of us, all of us, were responsible for the killing of Jesus Christ, the Creator of all mankind. Now, obviously, there had to be a few instruments there to do it, you see, but that was according to the plan of God. As you read in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to bruise Him. He is the one that gave Him as a sacrifice. He is the one that commanded Him to go and give Himself to be killed. And there was a need for some people to do it. And so, the people of Israel, the Jewish community, and some of them were Israelites, in other words, from other tribes of Israel, were also there. And then you had also Rome, and the different nations that were a part of Rome, in the armies of Rome, you see. So on one hand, you find mainly the Jews representing all of Israel. On the other hand, you find Rome representing all the nations of the earth. All mankind were there killing their Creator. And for the hypocrites and the bigots and the so-called Christianity, which is anything but the religion of Christ, it's a pagan religion to the core, all these years to persecute the Jews and claim that you are Christ killers. That's a height of hypocrisy, and they are going to be brought to judgment for that to this very day. Because you see, they should have said, we have all done it. You see, all have done it. The Jews are guilty. Israelites are guilty. All mankind are guilty at any given generation because sin that we have committed is the reason for it. And all of us have committed it. You see, even the most wicked and vicious and evil and abominable person and hypocritical person on the face of the earth would readily admit that he does things that are wrong. We all know it. You see, nobody claims I've never done anything wrong in my life. Never thought anything wrong. We all know it. We are all Christ killers. And unless we recognize that, we're all hypocrites and bigots and biased. You know, we have a bias, you see. And we are very hypocritical. And we're going to get even a greater condemnation. You see. And so all of us should admit it. And that's exactly what the disciples taught. They didn't teach anything else. They were not putting all the blame on the Jews. As Peter made it very plain when he spoke to all of his people, he said, I know that all of you and all of your leaders have done it in ignorance. You really didn't know what you were doing. That's what Christ said was saying about all of them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't say butcher them, kill them. He didn't tell his followers, supposedly who call themselves followers, go butcher them, cremate them, persecute them, afflict them, oppress them, despise them, hate them, teach lies about them, and hatred in your churches. He didn't do any of that. And that exposes all those who have done it for what they really are. They're all children of the devil. And all of us are, barring none, to one degree or the other, because every time we commit a sin, we've done it because we followed Satan rather than God. Once we come to acknowledge that, we don't point the fingers anymore at anybody else. You see? There has been never a human being on the face of the earth that hasn't done evil, that hasn't sinned. That includes Father Abraham. You see, everybody, except God Himself who came in the flesh, Jesus Christ. So, we all have killed Jesus Christ. Unless we realize that, you see, we're going to pay the penalty when the time comes. Nobody's going to get away with it. You see, all of us have broken the law of Moses, the law of God, the law for which Jesus Christ had to die. And that's the whole story of the people of Israel and the whole earth. You see? And that's why God is going to come and judge all mankind. And He's going to expose every human being upon the face of the earth for what he is, for what they've done, even though they never heard of Him. It does have, you know, to do with it, whether you heard of Him or not, whether you believe in Him or not, whether you follow Him or not. It has nothing to do with it. If you committed transgression against the law of Moses, if you have sinned, you are a Christ killer. You killed your God, your Creator. You see? Aren't we all honest enough to realize about all the evil things that we have done to our parents? And how many times we figuratively kill them by the evil things that we do and all the pain and affliction that we bring on them, the suffering and the sorrow because of all the wicked things that we have committed since childhood? We know that, especially when we become teenagers and later on. That's what we have done to our God also. All of us. So there are hypocrites on both sides. Those who claim we've never done it and those who claim you've done it. You see? We're all in the same boat. And that's why God is going to deal with all of us. And He's going to cleanse us and purge us. And as He told His own people, Israel, for that matter, the whole earth, He's going to bring us to the point where we're going to loathe ourselves and puke at ourselves when we are going to see for the first time in our life what we are really made of. You see? And not deceive ourselves anymore that we are the believers. We are the righteous people. You know, we are this and we are that. You see? We're all full of vomit. Every single one of us, including me, you see? Every single one of us, we're all full of vomit to one degree or the other. And those who acknowledge God, as the Apostle Paul said, you know, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul under sin. What a wretched man that I am. As Isaiah said, all of our righteousness are filthy garments before you, equating it to the menstruous clothes of a woman. You see, full of blood, and then it begins to stink in the old days where they didn't have tampons. You see? All of us should acknowledge ourselves for what we are. And we begin to pat ourselves on the shoulders and blame others and say, we didn't do it. You know, just like Adam and Eve. We didn't do it. The devil made us do it. You know, we had nothing to do with it. You know, Adam says, you know, the woman that he gave me, that means it's your fault, God. And the woman says, not my fault, the devil made me do it. And the only honest of the three of them was the devil himself. He didn't say anything. You see, he couldn't play games with God. He had nobody to blame. A lot of people don't realize that we are not even as honest as the devil himself when we do not acknowledge what we are really made of. That's why a lot of people find it very convenient to even claim God does not exist. Why? Because, you know, if you claim does not exist, well, there is no law to follow. Nobody has to rule over you. You don't have to do what God says. You can do whatever you want. You see? Do that which is right in your own sight. And then you got to invent a theory in order to justify yourself, so you call it evolution. And there is no God. If there is no God, who cares about the law of Moses? Well, we can play all the games that we want. Well, anyway, we're going to stop this point again. Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.